Zillow and Redfin have made it clear that they're trying to build like a complete solution for buying a house, a one-stop shop where you could search for a home, get a mortgage, make an offer, complete the sale, done and done right there.
It seems like a fraction of the market of people that are going to buy and sell homes this way.
I got to say, John, you sound like my dad going into the Barnes & Noble in the
1980s. I know. Okay, so what am I missing? I guess that's what it is. What am I missing here?
It's the Amazon experience. It's the Uber experience.
It's one thing when I use Uber to get from my house to downtown Seattle for an event. It's another thing when I'm doing a one-time lifetime purchase on my home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GeekWire podcast. It's GeekWire editor Todd Bishop.
GeekWire co-founder John Cook.
And we're joined in the studio by GeekWire reporter Nat Levy, who has been investigating this story that we're going to talk about today.
Thanks for having me. Sounds like a big task here, investigating it. Exactly. I like it.
Exactly. Nat, you've focused on real estate in a variety of forms over the years, and this is a timely story. The summer is about to begin. People are going to be looking for houses. And over the winter, it seems, the real estate tech market has completely changed. Zillow, Redfin, a bunch of other competitors are doing a variety of different things, and we're going to explore what that means here on the GeekWire podcast today. And John, this is a story that you've been covering in terms of Zillow and Redfin for, gosh,
since the beginning.
Since the dawn of time.
Dawn of the companies, at least, yes.
Exactly. So you're going to have some good perspectives on this. But let's start with a big overview. Back in the day, it was really easy to describe Zillow and Redfin. Zillow was a media company, and Redfin was a brokerage. So how have things changed, Nat, and how is everything changing in this market?
Well, I think what's interesting about this is that both of those companies are started off in very different places, but now they're coming together and doing some similar things. Zillow made a really dramatic change in what it does. Redfin has been adding new things over the years, but it's been doing it in a slower, more incremental way. So contrasting those two approaches has been very interesting. It was just a couple months ago that Zillow revamped its entire business, saying that we're going to focus primarily on buying and selling houses. You know, they were, as you said, media, advertising for brokers, and now they're taking control of everything. They want to do, in addition to buying and selling the houses, they talked about title and escrow, insurance, and maybe even moving someday.
Whoa. Okay.
So let's start those rumors of a Dolly acquisition right now. Can we get that going?
We can do that. And we're going to have acquisition rumors later on in the show. But Rich Barton is now back as Zillow Group CEO, John. He's somebody you've covered over the years. How would you describe his approach in general to businesses, to startups, and how that's going to translate into Zillow potentially?
Think big.
Yeah.
Swing for the fences. We had Rich at one of our initial GeekWire events when he was at Zillow, still a CEO. And I think you remember the analogy he threw out at the time. Remember it?
Was it a baseball analogy?
Yes, it was.
Let's hear it.
He said, it's as easy to get up to the plate and bunt as it is to swing for the fences. So you might as well swing for the fences. And in this instance, Zillow is swinging for the fences in a very, very big way. And as Nat said, in a way that is in absolute contrast to how the company has operated since its founding. For years, Zillow sat there and said, we are not going to get into the middle of the transaction where most of the money is in the housing business. We're going to be a media company and help agents, help real estate professionals do their job better. And that has been completely flipped on its head.
And what's interesting when you talk about Rich, he stayed very consistent. When he was talking about this big move, he explicitly called out that he has an affinity for big swings. And I can't think of too many bigger swings recently from a big established public company than what Zillow is doing here. They're just completely upending their whole business. It's a huge bet. It's a risky bet, but I'm really curious to see where it goes.
And they've done it before, too. I mean, they bought Trulia, which was their number one competitor. So they do these big swings on occasion. That was an acquisition that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. And I know we're going to speculate later, but I am still of the belief that Redfin and Zillow will combine.
Interesting.
I can argue against that, but actually I've started to see a little sliver of light about it.
Here's what I will say. Zillow will make an acquisition of a brokerage. Which better one to do it? In its backyard, Redfin, which is a technology forward looking business. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
So we're going to debate that in full later on. But let me just say, Rich, in the meantime, has added a certain personality to Zillow that might not have been there before, especially on its earnings calls. Here's what he said on the most recent earnings conference call.
As I reflect on the quarter, I'm reminded of a fantastically cheesy and popular TV show from the 80s called The A-Team, about a former Special Forces unit that became mercenaries for good and would take on daring rescue missions, and despite long odds, would somehow pull it off. Each episode, just as the tide was turning, cigar in mouth, Colonel Hannibal Smith, played by George Peppard, would turn to the camera and say, "I love it when a plan comes together." Well, our daring plan to transform the real estate transaction for the super-empowered, smartphone-wielding, Uberized consumer is in fact coming together, or at least it's beginning to come together.
So that's Rich Barton on the Q1.
Well, that is interesting because Spencer Roscoff, the previous CEO, was also pretty entertaining in his earnings call and did a lot, you know, in terms of interacting on Twitter and pushing the envelope there. But you have two folks here in Spencer and Rich Barton, who we should say is the former CEO and co-founder of Expedia, so has built large consumer internet brands. Rich Barton, yes. So they are very dynamic, charismatic leaders, both of them. And so it's going to be interesting to see. But the A-Team, Todd, you grew up in this era.
Oh, yeah.
Who was your favorite A-Team?
How can you not say Mr. T?
Yeah, Mr. T. Mr. T. Nat, you probably have no idea what we're talking about,
right? I know what the show is, but this is way out of my depth. Okay.
I pity the fool that takes on Rich Barton.
That's right. That's right.
You know who else is a pretty entertaining, charismatic guy is Glenn Kelman, the Redfin CEO.
Absolutely.
His earnings calls can be money, too, which is very nice for me listening to them all. And, you know, I definitely didn't have 80s TV reference in my earnings call drinking game this quarter. So
that's right. But it does speak to how exciting it is for us sitting here at GeekWire in Seattle, where we have these two very innovative online real estate oriented companies based here and in a market that's really radically changing with Opendoor, OfferPad, Compass. These companies, there are a lot of new entrants coming into the market and really upending it. And to some degree, Redfin and Zillow were the first wave of innovators. And now we have this second wave coming. And it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out.
Redfin's been really interesting, too, because they've been in a lot of these businesses that Zillow is talking about getting into for years. Mortgage, title, escrow renovations. They've been doing that stuff for a long time.
And have sold and bought and sold homes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been their business.
And they got into buying and selling homes before Zillow did, and which is interesting to me. And
what you mean with their direct model?
With their direct,
which is
Redfin Now. Doing it themselves. They've been doing that for 2+ years, and Zillow just hit 1 year. It's interesting because for Redfin Now has become a much bigger part of their business, but it's not the business the way it is becoming for Zillow.
So you actually got to interview Glenn Kelman, and you asked him, big picture, what's happening in this real estate tech landscape over the last 2 to 3 years? And here's what Glenn had to say on that topic.
Well, I think there's a bubble. So part of it is just the amount of capital that's come into the space. You had $30 million being invested in real estate technology companies in 2012, and now it's $4.5 billion of private capital in 2018. So that has fueled a land grab. There's a feeling now among Wall Street investors and perhaps the general public that everything's up for grabs, that real estate's really going to change. And when you have 20% of the U.S. economy at stake, you're going to see companies take larger losses and bigger risk to try to win the prize. So Zillow has done that. Redfin has done that. You've got Opendoor and Compass raising billions of dollars in private money. And it puts a lot of pressure on all of us. We want to be the source of that pressure, but I think we also feel it. Because you know that one day the music's going to stop, that companies ultimately are valued on their profits. And so at this moment, I think we are all taking significant risk because we see the opportunity. But it's probably more risk than we had in mind, say, 2 years ago.
So that was Redfin CEO Glenn Kelman talking with you, Nat Levy, in a recent interview. And we have the full interview, the Q&A, up on GeekWire if you want to go check that out. What do you think of Redfin's approach here, John? And how would you compare and contrast what Redfin and Zillow are doing?
Well, as we were just talking about, well, first off, it is refreshing to always hear Glenn talk because he does speak very bluntly about the market. You don't hear a lot of CEOs. A lot of CEOs would skirt around the issue. They wouldn't say, gosh, we have all these competitors now coming into the market and we have to take a bigger risk and a bigger bet on our own business. And like, so it's refreshing to hear that first off. Secondly, I mean, I think he's right. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of money at play. Redfin, I think, has an advantage in that it has been in this market of buying and selling homes. So it's not as much of a stretch for them to offer their Redfin Now product and make the leap there as it is Zillow fighting 10 plus years of history of saying they're never going to get into the real estate transaction.
And let's clarify what we're talking about here. You mentioned this just a minute ago, but Redfin has been in the brokerage business since its beginning. That's the basis of its business.
Yeah, they employ agents and their agents buy and sell homes for people.
But the new trend is that these companies, Redfin, Zillow, and others, they're physically taking ownership of the homes and then turning around and selling them. How is this going?
Yeah, and you can almost think about it, and the end goal here is to bring more of an Amazon-like approach to the home buying process where there's a buy now button, and that's all you need to do. And so that's the holy grail here. It does speak to whether consumer behavior would actually drive that. I think for some people it works, but I don't know for the vast majority of the market if it does.
I'm curious to see, with all these competitors that Glenn is talking about, which ones are going to do what, which ones are going to specialize in maybe one or two things. Which ones are going to try to do it all? I think Zillow and Redfin have made it clear that they're trying to build like a complete solution for buying a house, a one-stop shop where you could search for a home, get a mortgage, make an offer, complete the sale, done and done right there.
So when you look at this big picture, is this about solving the problems that people who are buying and selling homes face? Because it's a complicated process. To your point, John, this is not one-click shopping by any stretch. Or is it about these companies trying to just conquer the market? I mean, or what is it?
And does probably this both.
Yeah.
Probably both. I think they, in their hearts, they really do want to make the real estate process more seamless and not as cumbersome for the end consumer. And if they do that, they realize they will have pretty big market share and a large section of the economy under their belts. One other point I would make is that we're just talking about the technology entrance into this market with OfferPad and Opendoor, Redfin, Zillow. I mean, there's a whole nother class where most people are buying their homes, the traditional real estate brokers, which are also running into this market and trying to figure this out. So the Windermere's, Keller Williams, those big brokerages are not just going to cede all this territory to the Zillows and Redfins of the world. So that adds an entirely another dynamic to this, which is interesting.
Talking about the market a little bit here, let me throw a couple numbers at you. So Zillow, which brought in $1.3 billion in revenue as a whole for all of 2018, sees its home buying operation bringing in $20 billion in 3 to 5 years. So that's how big of a dollar sign they see in this
project.
But
at what profit margin? Because you can imagine if you're running a media business that the profit margin is much higher than on the buying and selling of homes.
And that's the question. Can these guys price the homes correctly and be able to make enough money on the transactions to deal with the cost and risk that it involves?
Because, Nat, you actually tracked the first home that was sold through Zillow Offers. Was it in the Phoenix area? Am I remembering that right? And if I recall correctly, did they sell that? Was it at a loss or a wash? Because it was not a big windfall one way or the other.
I think they sold it for a little bit above what they paid for it. But the point that Zillow has made consistently is it's not about making $1 million on every home. It's making a little bit on each one and not, taking a bath on every house you buy.
And are they doing kind of the flip? In other words, are they doing a big renovation or are they pretty much just playing the market and assuming they can sell it for more if they hold on to it for a little longer and find the right buyer.
Well, there's definitely a element of sprucing it up, making it look better. Redfin has a concierge business, which is their renovation business. So it's not just buying the house, sitting there, you know, putting their sign up and reselling it. They're doing some things to make it better and doing some things to make it more appealing.
The part of the market here where I do think this makes a little more sense. I mean, I think when we envision this business model, we envision a single family home on a lot. And I haven't read much about this, but what are they doing in the condo market? Because condos are a little bit more cookie cutter, and I could imagine that there actually is an opportunity there. Have you researched that at all or looked into that?
Not especially, but I think you're getting onto something, and it's the move up buy. So say I'm a first time buyer and I've bought a condo, but I'm ready to move into a house, but I don't really have the money to do it. What I can do from a Redfin and Zillow is I can very quickly sell that house and know that that's gone, and then I can be able to afford the next house. You know, before you would run into situations where the closing takes forever, or maybe it doesn't work out, and then you're sitting there and you have two payments or the threat of that, and it just creates a little more certainty for the people who are getting ready to move up. And then the offshoot of that is maybe those condos or those starter homes or whatever they are, they go back on the market a little quicker, and then all of a sudden you've got more availability, which is good for prices.
Todd, I'm curious because these entrepreneurs must be seeing something around a corner or something in a larger, you know, mentality shift in order for this to become the big businesses that they're talking about. Because as I see it now through my limited lens of home buying, it seems like a fraction of the market of people that are going to buy and sell homes this way. And it's going to be a big shift to get them into a leaving a Windermere to come to a Zillow or Redfin. And you've seen a Redfin, even as a new real estate brokerage, they haven't really penetrated as a traditional real estate brokerage in many of these markets up to the point, you know, they're single digits in most in terms of market share. So
I got to say, John, you sound like my dad going into the Barnes & Noble in the 1980s.
I know. Okay. So what am I missing? I guess that's what it is. What am I missing here?
Talk to Rich and he'll tell you about.
He's going to convince me? Okay, Rich, let's get coffee and tell me why this
Uber-ized.
Makes sense. He loves Uber. He does love
that
Uber.
That one click, that one button. It's the Amazon experience. It's the Uber experience.
It's one thing when I use Uber to get from my house to downtown Seattle for an event. It's another thing when I'm doing a one-time lifetime purchase on my home.
For sure.
Well, how far are we from that whole idea? Because right now, if you go buy a house, having gone through the process a couple times myself, I mean, you are hip to hip with that agent in a lot of ways. The agent is showing you in that the paper, everything. You're sitting down at the coffee shop with the agent. I mean, it is so far away, even in tech heavy Seattle, from this notion of going onto an app and buying it, at least in the traditional process.
And the one thing that would convince me being the frugal person that I am, is if there were cost savings involved in this.
Isn't that the whole idea behind Redfin?
Originally. But they completely got out of that.
Really?
They completely got away from that. Yeah, I mean, the whole discount
on the fee.
I mean, they still play that up. But that, I mean, they are a traditional brokerage and very competitive with other traditional brokerages in terms of their fees. I mean, you still maybe get a little bit more money back, but they've moved away from. I mean, you remember they redid their kickback to the consumer multiple times, and now they look like a traditional agent. So it's weird because they're maybe these efficiencies that they can garner through this would allow them to then truly break the brokerage stranglehold on the commission rates and reduce that, giving more money back to me in the process. Now that gets kind of interesting.
What would Glenn say to what John just said, Nat?
Well, Glenn would say that one of the places that the companies can control is the real estate fees, and that the real estate fees, commissions, that sort of thing, are higher in the U.S. than other places, and that is a place where they can make a direct impact. And Redfin does still push you know, the lower fees for brokers. So that's still a big part of their business. It just sometimes gets overshadowed by some of the other flashier
but
stuff
they
that
moved,
they're doing.
But they've moved well away from that, from where they started. When they started, that was their whole brand promise. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it over time, they've actually gotten closer to where a John L. Scott or Windermere is than where Redfin originally started. But maybe this is the play by Glenn at Redfin to say, gosh, if we really want to break that model on commissions, we're going to have to own the process in totality. And that gets really interesting.
Who are the other players out there in this market? You've been alluding to some of them, John, but Nat, do you have a sense for the overall landscape? And can you give that to us?
It's a huge market that gets bigger pretty much every day. There's other companies in the so-called iBuyer space with quotation marks around it. Opendoor is the big name. Offerpad is another one. Both of them have raised some big gobs of money in recent months because it's expensive to buy a ton of homes. There's Compass, another company that's trying to switch up the brokerage model. And it seems like every day there's another startup raising money or another company. There's just so much money in real estate that everyone's trying to attack it and figure out the way to make it better.
Now, Compass is backed by SoftBank, and I know they've been making some pretty serious moves here in Seattle. Didn't they bring in, is it Joseph Sirach from Microsoft? He used to be a very high-ranking leader in artificial intelligence at Microsoft. That was a power move right there.
They're hiring like mad in Seattle.
Yeah, they set up a big office here. It's going to be interesting to watch them go head-to-head for talent.
It actually speaks to that age-old question, which I started asking back when Zillow and Redfin were coming into their own. Like, why here for real estate? I don't get it.
Well, in the case of Zillow, it was because they had started Expedia here, and Redfin actually was started in Seattle, and Glenn Kelman is from Seattle originally, but moved to Seattle to take the CEO job.
So it's kind of like a why Amazon in Seattle thing.
A little bit.
Jeff
Bezos
decided to drive across the country.
It's a little bit of happenstance. I don't think it's because there was some DNA that there's a lot of real estate tech here. Now there is. And so
it
makes sense.
It's a flywheel.
Yeah, so like, absolutely. Oh,
so like Compass can poach from Redfin and Zillow and likewise and all the way around. All right. So that's a sense for the overall landscape. But there's a debate that's been raging in the GeekWire newsroom, and we're going to settle it when we come back. You're listening to the GeekWire podcast.
I wanted a career in IT, but I didn't know where to start. WGU makes it simple. Their accredited online degree programs cover all kinds of IT specialties, and they have valuable industry certifications built in at no extra cost. The payoff? Having those certs back up my degree makes me look even better to future employers. A nonprofit university that includes top industry certs in their programs? I choose WGU. Learn more at wgu.edu/IT certs included.
All right, welcome back. We are talking real estate tech this week on this special edition of the GeekWire podcast. It's Todd Bishop, John Cook, and Nat Levy. John, there was a moment on a podcast about 2-3 months ago.
Started this whole roller coaster that we're on right now.
Exactly. And well, actually, you know something? Let's listen back to it.
But at one time, there was speculation that Zillow should try to buy Redfin,
right,
which would give them the agent component. Zillow has a history of buying pretty antagonistic
Trulia
competitors. Trulia is a great example where they consolidated the market. Maybe that's the story we should be pursuing, Todd. We always come up with a story idea. Maybe this is the story. Now's the time for Zillow to buy Redfin. I mean, at an $8 billion market value to a $1 billion market value, that seems possible.
Do you think Rich and Glenn Kelman, the CEO of Redfin, have been sitting down and having conversations about this?
I don't think so, but I wouldn't have thought that Pete Flint, the CEO of Trulia, and Spencer Roscoff were sitting down and having conversations about a merger many years ago. Can we get on that story?
Yes.
We're right on it.
Okay. All right. I'll go out to the newsroom and
shout it. Yeah, shout it out. We got a story.
That's right. Pure speculation, but dive into it. Okay. All right, John, so your contention here obviously is that Zillow will end up buying Redfin.
Yes.
Make your case.
And I'm going to stick by it. I will go back to the earlier component of this podcast where I was saying that Rich Barton likes to swing for the fences. He likes big bets. No one saw the Trulia acquisition coming, and he took out his number one competitor. If they're going to expand into buying and selling of homes, they can pick up their next door neighbor and Redfin. They're bigger than Redfin, so I'm not suggesting that Redfin could acquire Zillow. It makes some sense when you just start breaking it down. Now, there's certainly some different personalities between the two companies. They've fought hard over the years. I do think the fact that Rich Barton is back in charge at Zillow opens the door here for the potential dialogue to occur. I think Glenn Kelman and Spencer Roscoff, Glenn, the current CEO of Redfin, and Spencer, the former CEO of Zillow, were oftentimes at loggerheads and
yes.
Not the best of pals.
No, there were some emails that came out that Spencer had written referring to Glenn in the lawsuit between Zillow and Move, Realtor.com,
yes.
That were
pretty jarring.
Mean.
Yeah, pretty mean.
Frankly mean.
Yes.
And yeah.
Yeah. So I think there's an opportunity here for Zillow. They've obviously put their stake in the sand and they're going for this. Why not do it through an acquisition and get into the real estate buying and selling business in a bigger way?
So to be clear, specifically what that would do is Zillow, traditionally a real estate media company, a place for agents to reach home buyers and sellers, would be adding a brokerage element. In other words, competing with many of those same agents. And so that then, Nat, is the basis for your counterpoint.
That's right. So Zillow has its program called Premier Agent. You got into it. It's advertising for agents, and it lets them get front and center with the buyers so everyone knows to go to them when it's time to buy their house. That has been, for a very long time, the huge driver of all of Zillow's business.
So you're searching for a home on Zillow.com or on the app, and you see the agent's ad there, effectively.
Right. And so, like you mentioned, by buying a brokerage and becoming a brokerage in and of itself, it would be competing with its own customers for Premier Agent. So what I'd liken this to is retailers who are getting out of Amazon's cloud services because they don't want to compete with them in the retail sector.
So the agents could potentially...
So maybe they go do something else or go to someone else or run and do their own thing. Premier Agent made up about 71% of Zillow's total revenue at this time a year ago. It's down to 65% now because of the growth in the properties and home sale business. So I've been stridently against this idea, John, after thinking about it a little bit more, I think there's one way that it does happen, and it's if it proves that home sales and Zillow offers can be, you know, a really profitable piece of their business, because Premier Agent is kind of propping it up right now. And if that business proves out, Premier Agent becomes a less important part of what Zillow is doing, then it kind of opens the door for them to buy a brokerage, even if it hurts that part of their business.
Well, if they're saying in 3 to 5 years that the home buying part of their business is going to be, what, $20 billion, you said? And what was their current revenue?
$1.3 billion.
Who cares?
If they get there, it seems like they're
knifing their traditional business in order to try to innovate and go after this bigger part of the market, which is interesting because they always said they were never going to do it. Well, now they say they're doing it, so they kind of have to pick a lane here.
And to me, if you read the tea leaves, Spencer Roscoff left Rich Barton, who was co-founder and the original CEO of Zillow.
Yes.
He came back. To me, this says that there was a disagreement between the two of them. Pure speculation here. But if you look at this over the whole idea of brokerage.
I agree with that. I mean, yeah. Spence, and it might not even have been a nasty disagreement.
Right.
It could have been, hey, Spencer could have said to Rich something along the lines, hey, I've been out for 10 years saying we're not going to do this thing that we're now going to do. I just can't be the CEO of a company that's going to make this transition. We need new leadership.
To go back to your baseball analogy, you know, we might be looking at Spencer as your guy who hits singles and gets on base, And to go for the big swing, you get Rich back in there.
Yeah. That said,
they would argue that's not that, that's kind of mean. That is mean.
That said, I mean, Zillow was a this
on
is
base
the thing.
Percentage, man. It wins games.
This is the thing. Zillow was already a home run, and I mean, they're a $8 billion company.
And
so
Spencer Rascott ran it for many years.
Yeah. So I would say it was already a home run. Now they're going to Rich is getting up there and wants to hit a grand slam. So I don't know, and it might not be Redfin. That might just not be the right fit. But I do think they could purchase a brokerage. Now, I guess to your point, Nat, are you saying they don't want to own the brokerage, the headaches of employing brokers that are out there buying and selling homes, but they just want – Zillow just wants to own the process end-to-end on their own without the pain of the brokers doing that business?
I don't think they don't want to employ brokers. It's that brokers bring in a lot of their money currently – and if they are a brokerage, then there goes their customers because they're competing with themselves at that point.
Okay, so I'm a broker at Windermere, and I do
I'm an agent
at Windermere, and I spend $10,000 with Zillow each year to try to drive leads, so I sell more homes. And now I'm starting to lose potential customers of mine because Zillow is gobbling up all these potential customers that they're buying and selling the homes. I don't know. It just seems like you would be in a tough position there. Now, I guess you could make the argument that Zillow entering the market just creates another opportunity for myself as an agent at Windermere to sell a home. I can sell a home to Zillow, and that's beneficial. So it just creates an additional buyer in the market. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like, as I said, Zillow's kind of picked their lane of where they're going, and they're going to upset that premier agent business regardless.
No, they have not said they're getting into brokerage, to be clear. Right? Is that right, Nat? That's like the one big part of the business that they have not yet said they're going to get into. But it seems like this is where they're headed.
Yeah. If they want to go completely end-to-end owning everything, having a brokerage under their belt would be a big piece of that. It just depends how the home buying process works out and how much of its balance sheets it starts to make up, because it's a lot of money from Premier Agent that they would be disrupting if home buying doesn't work out or something goes wrong or whatever, and then they lose this too. That could be troublesome.
Well, Zillow tried this really early in its days. They rolled out a product called Make Me Move, where you could list your home on the Zillow site. And you could bypass the brokers. You could say, hey, make me an offer, and maybe I'll take it. And it was done solely through Zillow. And so to me, this is kind of an extension of that concept. And if Zillow starts to get really successful with it, then why does Windermere and John L. Scott and Keller Williams need to exist?
This whole discussion about Zillow potentially getting into the business of real estate brokerage, of employing agents, reminds me a lot of kind of a reverse Amazon, because with Amazon, you had them start with first-party sales of products, and then they added the third-party marketplace. But it's the same conflict that people like Senator Elizabeth Warren are bringing up if they add the brokerage to the media business. In other words, if they're both serving and competing with their customers, there's a temptation to favor yourself over your third-party customers, because ultimately you're going to give preference to something that's your own.
Yeah, there are some analogies there. I see where you're going with that. So maybe Elizabeth Warren can go after Zillow now.
Well, I imagine actually, if this transaction ever were this fictional transaction we're talking about, there would be regulatory concerns.
You could actually make the argument that Zillow has more control over the mind share of people buying homes right now than Amazon does over control in the retail market.
Huh. Wow. That's a pretty bold statement. I think you'd have to, let me think about that.
When
one.
You think about buying something, you have a lot of choices right now. And I mean, if you're going to buy a bike, you can go to Greg's Green Lake Cycle. You can go on to Amazon. You can go direct to, you can do a lot of different things. When you think about buying a home right now, I think the first step for many people is they go to Zillow to do their research. And so I don't know. I think that's interesting that there could be potential regulatory issues here.
Yeah. Big picture thoughts, Nat. You've been looking into this. We've sent you on probably a month-long quest, starting with that comment and the analysis that we were doing.
Sorry,
about,
Nat.
About the thing. After all of this, what would you want people to know about real estate technology, this market, and how homes and home buying are changing, and what all of this means for the regular person out there?
I think we're just in a really interesting time. It's kind of a wild west for real estate tech right now. We don't know who's going where exactly. We know Zillow has made this big bet. We know Redfin is adding a lot of stuff, and they're trying to be a platform for everything. It'll be interesting to see whose solution works best, if one company rules it all, if it's just going to be everybody's going to have their own niche. I'm really curious to see if it actually has any significant effect on the housing market from a larger perspective. You know, can this bring down the costs of homes for people who can't afford them? Can they figure out a way to help people get over, you know, the cost of down payments? Can they make it easier to build? I don't know. I don't know if they can solve all of these problems that still plague the real estate market, especially in these big coastal cities like Seattle, San Francisco, where prices are rising at incredibly fast rates. But it's just such a – it's a time full of unknowns. We don't know if Zillow's bet is going to be – if they're going to achieve those milestones that they've set. We don't know if they're going to buy a brokerage. Maybe they will. We don't know if Redfin is going to, you know, push into sales nearly as much as Zillow has. I'm just kind of – it's interesting to be along for the ride, basically.
It is, yeah. I'm still just scratching my head. How does Rich Barton get to that $20 billion revenue figure? Like, how does he scale this business in a way that doesn't involve people in markets that are doing real estate? And that's what they're doing. And like, I don't know how he gets there. I mean, I guess it's, you could say the same for, I guess Amazon needed the fulfillment centers in a lot of these different markets so they could expand and deliver quickly to people. I guess if you take that analogy out, you need some people that are going to deliver the service at the end of the day, which is the transaction on the home. I just don't know how he gets to those numbers without a massive scale up with people, and the way to do that's buying someone.
It's a fascinating market, to your point, Nat. This is one of the most interesting sectors of the tech economy, of the broader economy, to watch.
And buying a house, as everyone always says, it's one of the biggest things you ever do, and there's a lot of money in it.
All right, for full coverage, including a Q&A with Glenn Kelman that Nat did just recently about all of these changes and Redfin's future, go to geekwire.com. Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm John Cook.
I'm Nat Levy.
We'll talk to you next time on GeekWire.